The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Let's call this one the 21st of February. How about that? How about this sell-off, folks? Again, hope some of you have caught it. I think that over the course of these last few days, it is, for me, one of the more widely anticipated sell-offs among those of us that are professionals that have been market watchers. But a lot going on. I guess the real question is this the beginning of the 3-5% pullback that I have been talking about? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got Alan Rohrbach coming in a little bit. Alan, of course, can give us a good feel for what's been going on out in Europe, because I am very confused. Is it good news or is it bad news? You know, every day you seem to wake up and there's something else on the news about Europe. And these are, I'm talking about their actual production numbers. And I do want to talk a little bit about the currency markets, because I think that they're causing a little bit of this. But let's talk markets in general, folks. I got the Dow today again down. For those of you that are wondering, yes, 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 this is two very sharp days down in a row. I would expect a third. Somebody asked me the other day, when this sell-off does come, what will happen? And I said, remember, and this is what my old mentor, Bing Sung, used to tell me. He said, look, when you look in the dictionary under bull markets, it says that bull market breaks are fast and vicious. And that's exactly what this is. Not only in this market, not only in equities, but look at crude. Remember just, what, a week ago we were talking about crude up over $95, approaching $100 a barrel, and, you know, $5 gasoline, and, you know, this and that. Well, look, you know, the bottom line is that that is also correcting. If you're long any options, if you've noticed the VIX, now back almost at 16, 15 and three quarter, 1580 is trading up at. Wonderful move in volatility. Again, one of the reasons why when it was trading at 12 and a half, I said, look at the VIX. Pay attention to that. All right, even when it was at 13 and a half yesterday, buy those protect. Now, what do you do with it? Well, this is exactly the type of move you look for. Wait till tomorrow. Hopefully, you'll get one more nice downdraft. That gives us that 3-5%. And then you roll the position down. You monetize it. Take some of it off the table. How low can this thing go? Well, look, we went up to 1530, all right, in the S&P. We got down to 1500. That's a 2% move. Can it get down to, say, 1485 or maybe even 1470? Of course. That's your 3-5% pullback, folks. That's what you look for. In fact, what I would say to you is those that have protective put options on are making more on the options than they're losing on the underlying stocks that are going down. Why? Because volatility, which was very, very low, started to pop. So not only do you get the actual price movement going in your direction, but you've got volatility going in your direction, which pumps even more premium into the price of that option, folks. All right? It's, again, it gives you what I call the double whammy. It gives you two things at the same time. Now, I want to talk about the double whammy, because we're getting the double whammy in other markets, and I want to be very specific. You know, I mentioned something yesterday, and then I talked about it on the market update show that I do for the CME, and that is that the investors investing out of various countries whose currencies have been going down against the dollar are sitting on huge profits. And I want to be very specific, because I was talking about that, and I got a couple of emails from people, and they said, Jack, can you please explain that? Now, let's go through this logically, all right? If I'm an investor in Tokyo, and I've want to put my money into U.S. equities. Let's say that I gave that money to an index fund manager in Tokyo, you know, the guy at Nomura, who ends up buying U.S. stocks, right? Well, remember what he is doing, folks, is that money is being bought in U.S. dollars, all right? So what happens is that yen is exchanged for a dollar, which then goes into the equity markets. Now, why is that important? Well, because we have seen a 20% move down in the yen. All right. If nothing had been done with that money and it was just sitting in dollars and did not get invested into equities, that investor in Tokyo would be up 20%. Why? because his currency, the one that he uses to pay his bills, namely the yen, went down 20% versus the dollar. Now, when you take that and you couple it with the actual appreciation that we have seen in the market, well, then it gives fund managers the reason to take profit, which is exactly what is happening. So if you're sitting in Japan, folks, you are looking at a fund manager that is up 25 or 30% on the trade so far in the first 7 weeks of the year. You are looking at him and saying, take the money, you knucklehead, which is exactly what they're doing. Better yet, if you don't take that money and the market goes down, guess what happens? You lose your job. See, one of the things to keep in mind is that the market, say, for example, can go up from here, but so can the yen. And if the yen were to go up, well, the return would not be as great. So if we saw a 5% move up in the yen from the lower levels that we've just set and a 5% move up in equities, well, then, you know what? They wash each other out. See, the currency, folks, is so very important to understand. Same thing if you're, look, the UK, and in fact, Aaron Reinglass was so very gracious to point that out to us yesterday. I did not see that move in the British pound. I don't watch the British pound all that much. But you know what? I should. You know why? Because there is probably more money in pound sterling, all right, you know, than in any other currency aside from the dollar. Remember, all the new money, Russian oligarchs, whoever they might be, all go to London. London real estate is outrageous. You know why? Because everybody that is a new billionaire is looking at London as that safe haven. It's the closest place where new or real super wealthy people can actually be within the European zone. See, and it's something to keep in mind, folks, because remember, the UK... All right, and those investors that are sitting in London have exactly the same situation. They've got the double whammy. You have seen a 10% move or so in the British pound. British pound went from close to 170 versus the dollar down into the lower 152s. All right, that, folks, is a very strong move. I guess what I'm trying to point out, all right, is the fact that when you get moves like that, what it does is it puts things into perspective, because I think you need to understand the movement of those currencies and the ancillary effect it has on our markets. Now, you know, the regular relationships, those against commodities, are you know, very, very, I guess, if nothing else, obvious to us. Right? We know why we see crude going down because of the strength in the dollar. We know why gold has been going. By the way, gold is getting down to some real attractive levels, folks. I don't know if I do. I said it to you before. I love it with a 15 handle, and we're there now. I like that 1570, 1550 level. This is where we're at. So, again, every now and then, you get that opportunity, all right? The door swings wide open and allows you to get in at some digestible levels. So, you know, keep it in mind. You know, and as far as equities go, before I finish out this segment, I do want to say to you, you know, the two things that people are always making as far as mistakes go, the biggest mistakes I find as far as investors and traders are those that get caught up in the noise. You know, just a week ago, when we were up at 1530 in the S&P, I said to you, we're getting capitulation. What does that mean? Well, that means that those that are the diehard bears are throwing up their hands and reluctantly buying stocks. Nassim Taleb said it. I'm reluctantly buying. I'm being forced to buy stocks. Oh, the poor man, forced to buy stocks. How about that? You know, and then, of course, Mr. Doom and Gloom, Nariel Rabini. OK, you know, I mean, absolutely. I got to tell you, probably has destroyed more wealth, all right, than any other person I know. Okay, I don't even know why people even listen to him. All right? But yet, I talk about him because people do listen to him. People love the doomsdayers. I don't know why. Everyone's loving it. You know what? You don't make doomsday your investment strategy. Armageddon should not be an investment strategy, folks. All right, that's what those people preach. Okay, I hate a preacher that preaches Armageddon. I'm sorry, I don't. That's just the way I am. All right. You know, I will walk out of a sermon if I hear nothing but Armageddon talk. You know what? Preach to me about love, about that, okay? Because that's the common denominator. But, you know, it's not Armageddon. So, but I guess I'm saying that only because I'm making the comparison that you can't make that your strategy, especially in an environment where not being exposed is the most dangerous thing to a portfolio. So anyway, all of this is happening, and I don't want people to get caught up in the noise. You know, I started this segment because I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on out in Europe, because people are going to look at this 3-5% correction. They're going to say, aha, that's it. It's the top. And you know, they're wrong. You know, I mean, I can't stress to you enough how whenever I see the type of press that signals to me, you know, that we're getting that type of action, I can't stress how it just gets me excited. All right. When I saw the capitulation taking place, and what did I do? I immediately got people on the phone and I said, hey, are we at your levels? And sure enough, we were 1526, I think, was where we got to in the S&P. Right. Exactly at the number that Aaron told us, even though he wasn't convinced. He said we needed another close below 1526. All right. And we got it yesterday. And then you saw the market just continue to go down. You know, we talked about the 1525 to 1530 level with Alan Rohrbach. He told us it was an extension, and we're going to get this right back from him when he comes in a little bit, an extension of the 41 or 42-week moving average, something that I never even looked at, folks. And he told me whenever the market extended 120 points above or beyond that or below that, that usually signaled a near-term shift in the markets. Did he know that that was going to happen? No. But he used that analysis, and he gave it to us, folks. Hopefully some of you took advantage of that. All right? Look, you know, one of the reasons that I do this show is to be a good steward with information. All right? That's really what it's about. So understand where the selling is coming from and why. Understand what kind of profits, and these are sensational profits in some cases, that people from around the world are sitting on. Not only overseas, just north of the border, folks. You had a big move in the Canadian dollar. So those people out of Canada, and guess what? There are a lot of them, okay, that are very, very wealthy, and they trade out of their retirement accounts, by the way, up there, that are now invested in U.S. equities that have seen a move, what? In the dollar versus the Canadian dollar. All right, that loonie has gone down with the price of crude. Remember, they are a net exporting nation, which, by the way, makes them very excited. They love the fact that the Canadian dollar is going down because they know down the road that a lower, cheaper Canadian dollar is going to help their exports. Now, in the meantime, though, you see the market correcting. You know, somebody said to me, oh, it's bad, you Canadians getting hit. I said, wait a second. Canadian dollar was at 66 cents versus the dollar just a few years ago. You know, I guess, people have got to put things into perspective. You know, it's like saying, you know, the 10-year over 2%, that's a high interest rate. That's ridiculous. All right? Absolutely ridiculous. These are the most historically low rates I think we've seen in my lifetime. It could be ever. I guess, you know, folks, it's a very important thing to take the market psychology and to put it into perspective. So when we see this market selling off the way it has been, use it. Embrace it. Understand it. All right? I love the fact that NASDAQ is leading the way down and the Russell is leading the way down. Why? Because, you know, the Russell, for example, was one of the best performers. It made new all-time highs. It's been making new all-time highs. So to see it coming off a little bit is the healthiest thing that could possibly happen. You know, somebody called me just before I started the show, and they said, Jack, are you worried about this? And does it worry you that the market's breaking? And I said, worry me? I said, on the contrary. I said, just the opposite. I said, I'm excited because now I can actually buy things at digestible levels. The froth is coming out. This is what I need. What I'm hoping for, and I guess what I can really count on in many cases, is that nice little blow-off bottom, you know? Give me another day like today where we see maybe a triple-digit move in the Dow to the downside, a move maybe down to, say, 1485 in the S&Ps. I'll get excited then. I'll get excited, you know, because now I got my 3%. Now I know that I can roll down any protective puts that I have on. I can monetize that, stay into my protection. But more importantly, you know what? I'm recouping what was lost in my underlying. That type of protection and that type of strategy should be ingrained in everybody's portfolio. In one way or another, understand the use of insurance in a portfolio in a way that is very reasonable and efficient. Again, and folks, do your own homework. Find somebody that can help you with this. But these are the type of days that should get you excited, not nervous. Nervous people end up selling out on the bottom and buying on the top. Those that stay objective and stay clear-minded use these types of moves as opportunities. That's where I want your head. All right, we're going to take a few minutes and then come back. Hopefully, we're going to get Alan Rohr back into the studio here. We're going to be talking a lot. This is The Jack B. Show. Don't go away. I got a lot more coming.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-YTRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-YTRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. As we wait for Alan Rohrbach to get on the phone here, you know, I'm very interested to see the action around the sequester. You know, there's all of this talk about the sequester. You've been hearing it over and over again. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be, I guess, the sense of urgency that people would pick up on. But listen, let's get his thoughts on it. And you know, you've heard him on the show before, and I've got him on the phone right now. Of course, I'm talking about Alan Rohrbach. He is the founder of Rohr International. He writes one of the best blogs on the street. Alan, how are you, my friend?
I'm just fine, Jack. How you doing?
I hear you're stuck on a train. I was going to have you in the studio here, and you're stuck a little bit. Is that right?
Well, actually, I'm stuck in traffic. It was worse than I thought. But, you know, we've done this before. I have a pretty fair idea where the markets are, and there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Not the least of which, of course, is that S&P future and the short-term breakdown on that and the other equities in the last couple days.
Well, you know what? We got right up to the levels. I know that you, both you and Aaron Reinglass, hit it right on the head. I mean, you had that 1525 to 1530 level pegged, and we got right up, I think, 1526 in the futures. I know 1530 in the cash. So I get the question I'll ask you, and you know, Alan, I guess it's the one question that I asked Aaron yesterday is, and I think I'm right here, is this the 3 to 5% pullback that we've all been waiting for?
Well, it is a nice pullback so far. Here's the dilemma is, as you know, Jack, I tend to like to play price swing ping pong between the major levels. And the two major levels now were the 1465 to 75. It escaped from lower, at which point we said, you know, at least low 1500s.
By the way, I'm going to stop you for a second. If we were to go down there, would that be an area of support? Because that comes right into my 4% pullback, just so you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But keep going.
Well, 4% of the gross value of the index, but also that's right about the 25% retracement of the swing from the last major low up to the highs. The second thing is that you're going to have weekly moving averages, key weekly averages moving up into that area next week into the following week, like the 13-week average. Now, people, I know, Jack, you always like me to explain what we're talking about to your listeners. And the reason we use the 13-week average is, one, it works. Two, it is kind of elegant conceptually in terms of being the average weekly close for the last rolling quarter.
Now, you know what? That's interesting. I find that to be fascinating, the way that's playing into this. You know, Alan, here's a question for you. Are you getting any sense of urgency at all from people about the sequester? Do you think that that's got anything to do in this sell-off?
You know, that's a great question, Jack, because I had been bearish around mid-December on the sequester, and the market ran up back at that time out of the low 1400 area all the way right up until the close on the Thursday before the Christmas break, up to 1450 area. And we took a bearish view saying the market just waits till the last minute and gives these guys the benefit of the doubt that there's not going to be a deal. And lo and behold, I think you remember overnight into Friday, December 21st is when the market took a hit that lasted the rest of the month of December. So it typically waits until right before the event, but it's different this time. And Jack, I know you've discussed this. I know you're well aware, but just to remind your listeners, there are reasons why it is more apparent, and as such, the market is more aware, that there's less room for compromise on even a short-term fix this time because the moderate Republicans cannot give in once again on revenues like they did in January. And that's not news to your listeners, of course, because we've even discussed it on the show.
Well, you know, Alan, it almost feels that this whole sequester debate is really a fight for the soul of the Republican Party. You know, I know that there's a big, big split going on between the hardcore conservatives and those that are more fiscal conservatives.
You mean the Tea Party running a picture of Roman in a Nazi uniform? Was that a sign?
That was the sign. In fact, you know what? You've got a very, very spirited debate going on between Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove. And, you know, I think that this, for some reason, it feels like the sequester debate might somehow, and I guess maybe I'm a bit of an optimist, might somehow reshape the Republican Party.
Well, I think that's a good point, and exactly what you mentioned it is in the process of doing, and we'll see if they can come to a more solid, unified, cross-party position. It's playing right into what our president wants to see happen. No one likes it better to see the Republicans at each other tooth and nail over moderate, gradual spending cuts or something more aggressive in the near term than Mr. Obama.
No, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. In fact, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, it's true. Hey, you know, we've been seeing a bunch of numbers coming out this week, some housing numbers. I saw PPI and CPI come out basically in line. Is there anything that's coming out that's worrying you at all? The other day, I know that there was a number that came out. It was a housing number that everybody jumped all over and said it was a bad number. And I said, well, wait a second. Multifamily homes were down 24%. I said, that's the whole number. I said, other than that, single-family homes are going up. We want that. So I guess I had to reinterpret that number. Is there anything that you're looking at over the course of this week that's bothered you at all?
I have to admit, it's nothing that I've seen this week in particular, only because, as you know, I've had a pretty jaundiced view of the underlying global economy for some time. Now, what I mean by that is especially something I've focused on, and we've shared this on the show going back to the release of the OECD composite leading indicators, both in early January and early this month, that they make it obvious we're in a split global economy. And while there is some improvement in Europe, the real improvement of any sort, sustainable improvement, rests with us over here. And I see where our figures aren't all that terrible per se, but there is the trend is toward erosion of the positive factors, such as, you know, Philly Fed, it can be all over the map, but retail sales, we mentioned this last week in the show, and I want to revisit it. We're going to stay on this, much like we previously had sometimes focused on consumer credit. Retail sales coming in a little less well than expected was greeted with mostly a big yawn. But if that becomes a trend, it'll reinforce all the worst instincts about the taxationism, Jack, the higher taxes, regulation, Obamacare burdens, and the like, and that's the problem.
Alan, you said something which is so very important. I want you to stay on that for 1 minute. You said the trend is important. You know, one number doesn't make it. I mean, explain that so that the listeners understand that. You need at least, what, three numbers? What is it that you look at as a technician?
Absolutely. You need a rolling quarter worth of numbers. Because numbers go up and down month to month, you should always be averaging the last 90 days of any data set. That's exactly right, Jack.
No, you know what? I think it's something that, unfortunately, people don't take into account, you know, because what they're doing is they're taking that one number and then they're acting all over it. I get that all the time from people, especially when we're at dinner parties. They say, did you see that number on Friday? And I said, yeah, but have you seen the prior two numbers? All right? And did you see the revisions?
Did you see the revision?
Exactly.
It was down from a much higher base, etc.
I want to start segueing into Europe a little bit.
Let me just finish that one thought on retail sales, because coming in at an expected 0.4 and only being 0.2, even though you normally want to wait for a full 3 months, if February retail sales in March, especially the X autos and fuel number, if it comes in flat, you're establishing a trend toward weaker top-line income for all these companies that have done a great job of manufacturing earnings, but we've seen if the top line is really suffering from things like the higher payroll taxes, you know, it could really change the whole fundamental complexion, because that isn't going to change in a month or two.
No,
that stuff they're going to have trouble turning around.
I think you're right, Alan. In fact, you know what? Hang on. I want you to stay in traffic, sir. You know, I hate to say that to him. But we're going to take a few minutes here. And then when we come back, I want to get Alan's take on what is going on out in Europe, especially over this course of this last week. You know, we saw the German confidence number come out. It was better than expected. We saw the markets go up. And then the next day, some bad news came out of Europe. And I guess the real question is Europe back on our radar screen? Something that Alan Rohrbach, the founder of Rohr International, knows better than anybody. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt. debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before, this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Jack B Show. And the second day of a good sell-off here. We're already down 2% from the highs in the S&P, right getting into my sweet spot, that 3 to 5% area that I kept talking about. With us, of course, is our good friend Alan Rohrbach. He's the founder of Roar International. Roar-blog is the blog, one of the best blogs on the street. Alan, I want to talk to you about Europe. You know what? Good news, bad news. Tell us what the heck is going on out there, because it just seems to be driving trade early in the day.
Well, yeah, you're right, Jack. It's driving trade quite a bit. And one of the key factors is that Europe is feeling like, with everything they've done on the rescue, crisis abatement, everything like that, it's starting to fray a bit at the edges, much like coming out of all the rescue attempts in 2009 here to prevent the banks from melting down. We had that nice bounce in early 2010, but looking around, Mr. Bernanke felt that was the time to start his QE program to expand liquidity in the system. And I think we have to see what transpires from here on a Europe that has obviously had a nice bounce, but is starting to falter again.
Well, what happened earlier in the week? There was you told us last week there was going to be a German confidence number.
That's exactly right, Jack. Good for you. It's good to know we both have a few memory cells left. I cautioned everybody, watch out for German ZEW on Tuesday. And in fact, it came out better than expected. But ZEW is interesting. It is a consumer sentiment survey. So a lot like consumer confidence here. So it being better is a sign of the improvement that's already taken place. In the meantime, as you know, the other point we made is that then that's followed by all the advanced PMIs for Europe, which in this case, sadly, were worse than expected. And with the exception of Germany, right around 50, we're still well below 50, especially France weakening where it was supposed to strengthen, the second biggest economy in Europe. It's one of those signs things are fraying again.
How about the yen going down? Does that have an effect on competition, especially amongst the Germans, because the Germans are big exporters? And is that triggering any real tension there? I guess that, because that's the real question that I had. You know, the real question is whether a strong euro is good or bad for Europe. I think it's bad for Germany. It's good for other places.
Well, even when the euro was up into that, that push up into the 130 area once again, you know, I said, gee, how much of this do they really want? Talking up the confidence in January put the euro up very nicely. And my immediate response was, how much can they take while the yen is depreciating? So we're on the same wavelength there. And is it creating tension? Well, yes, but the bigger issue is it really causing switching on export markets? And the fact is, it is. I mean, you know, whether you're buying a German car or a Japanese import is, you know, pretty much the same, and they know the price. It hasn't bitten yet because all that takes place on a somewhat delayed basis, but they know it will bite, and that's part of the reason Europe's weakening. That's part of the reason industrial sentiment, purchasing manager sentiment, is weakening.
How long do you think that takes to work itself into the economy? 6-8 months before we start to see it affect the...
It's a shorter fuse than that, given the sharpness of the Japanese yen depreciation. I think these are things that reprice quarter to quarter. The yen's been falling since November, but really cratered into January here. So my view is that you're going to see that turn up starting in the second quarter, which, by the way, will also go for U.S. exports to other places. The euro being having been strong lately means they're getting the worst of it, but it's not really good for the U.S. either. And now the pound is under pressure
I was just talking about that before you got on, because one of the things that I've been mentioning to people is that, you know, the places that you just mentioned, Japan, you know, the UK, where we have seen a depreciation of their currency, those investors investing in U.S. equities from those areas are sitting on phenomenal profits because they've seen their currency go down. And it's one of the things I think that's been leading up to the sell-off a little bit. But I want to stick to the, you know, to the foreign markets for a second before I lose you here, Alan. You know, the yen, that's a tremendous move. When is the last time you have seen that kind of a move in a developed market currency? I mean, that is the velocity of that move has caught everybody by surprise.
You're right. It's been several years, because it was when the yen was coming down in 2007 into 2008 as the carry trade borrowings were being unwound. Folks, carry trade is when the yen had, before everybody else, the yen had a zero interest rate on a currency that was appreciating and up until 07, and people were just saying, what was still depreciating up until 07. So people said, I borrow in yen, I pay back in cheaper yen, and I get free money to go run off and trade my hedge fund. But Jack, the other important point there gets back to the U.S. as a driver for the rest of it, because one of the big things that's happening is the pound is down to key 2.5-year lows, about $1.52 to the pound. The euro is in much better shape, but back to a key level right around the 122 area or so. 132. The Aussie is down to a key level right around 102.50. $1.02 to the Australian dollar. And this is all about risk off, and the U.S. dollar is strong. Government bonds are back up, so it all relates back in the near term, at least late this week, to whether the S&P is rebounding from this 1,500 to 1,495 area that it's tested on the futures. And I'd still be negative, but in the short term, that could give you a spare squeeze back up to 1515 or 1520, you know, 1520. If it fails 1495, we might be more so down to that bigger, lower support, 20 to 30 bucks lower.
Well, you know what? I'd like to see it down to that 1475 level, especially after the capitulation that we have seen. You know, for me, that would be perfect. Hey, Alan, is there anything else that you see coming out, any economic indicators? I love when you show me something like that German confidence number that nobody else is paying attention to. Is there anything that you can see or that you're right off the top of your head?
On that short-term decision, Jack, we have something coming up late this week, right into tomorrow. Lest anyone forget, we get German GDP. So Germany being the best of it in Europe, and that was, you know, now clear assumption, rightfully or not, assumptions sometimes are misproven by the data as it's revised later on, but as Germany being the strong sister being a clear assumption, what you have is German GDP tomorrow. That'd be the first revision of Q4, and that comes out with a bunch of other figures like industrial investment, import and export prices, etc. So the complex, the German GDP complex of data being released tomorrow, is going to be pretty important, not just for Germany, but it's going to be important as any kind of general sentiment that maybe at least in the morning filters over and assists the S&P with holding on, or if it looks really nasty, maybe a good reason why they'll be selling the S&P down tomorrow morning before we even open.
Now, Alan, good stuff. Alan Rohrbach, folks. Alan, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a safe trip in, and we'll talk to you later. Again, Alan Rohrbach, for those of you that want to read him, he is at Rohr-blog, one of the best on the street. All right, we're going to take a few minutes here and then come back and then wrap it up, not only for the day, but unfortunately for the week. It's already Thursday. This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for the day and for the week. And, you know, we did have some numbers that came out today. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing that would, you know, lead to a sell-off like we had today. I think today is more indicative of a market that has been overextended. And we didn't even get a chance to ask Alan about his 41, 42-week moving average, which we've extended over. But, you know, folks, I got to tell you, and for those that are asking the question, yes, This is the sell-off that I have been expecting. Again, small, short. I don't think it's going to be one of these hard 10% sell-offs. I think it's going to be more indicative of a bull market sell-off, which only goes down 3 to 5%. And I'll tell you why that's indicative of a bull market sell-off. A 3 to 5% pullback leaves bears confused and out of the market and gives bulls an opportunity to add onto positions. It is the perfect type of pullback, especially for those that are bullish. So always keep an eye on that. I remember Bing Sung, my old mentor, he used to say that to me all the time. You know, if you're bullish, look for the 3 to 5% pullback. If you're bearish, look for that 3 to 5% rally, and that's what you sell. So anyway, but the numbers that came out today, as I said to you, were not earth-shattering. CPI came out flat, but if you took out food and energy, they were up 0.3%. A little inflation, not a bad thing. It's exactly what we want because, as you've heard me say time and time again, the flip side to that is deflation or disinflationary pressure, something that we do not want to see. Jobless claims, for those that weren't paying attention, came out basically in line. 362, and existing home sales actually better than I thought. You know, we said anything over 4.9 million units was going to be good, 4.92 million units. So, you know, the seeds are there, folks. All right. What we need to see is, I guess, some real open field running. But we're not going to get there unless, of course, we can get certain things out of the way. And one of them, unfortunately, is going to be here in about 9 days, you know, even less. And that's going to be the sequester. You know, the sequester, folks, in and of itself, I don't think is going to, you know, be something that is as big as people fear it to be. You know, nothing is as bad as people expect it to be, let's face it, especially when we're dealing with the government. You know, but the reality is that March 1st is next Friday, you know, and we are starting to worry. So, you know, for those that are worrying, well, what I would say is buy protection. You know, you should have it on. If you don't, get it on, you know, especially as you go into a period like we have next week. But the other thing that I'll say to you is that, you know, with it comes opportunity, you know, not only in equities, you know, but some of the ancillary markets. You know, as I've saying to you, you've been hearing me say it time and time again, I've been waiting for a pullback in gold because I want to buy gold. Well, you know what? I've got it. So now I'm actively looking. This is where I want to buy it. I'll buy it right here. I'll buy it if it breaks down another $20. I'll buy it if it breaks down another $100. This is where I will start adding on to my position because I like it. This is the price I'm waiting for. Just like if the market goes down, you know, another 1%, if I say another 15 or 20 points in the S&Ps, I'm all over it. That's when I'll monetize my puts. I will roll them down and I will use it to probably add on to my positions. That's what I like to do, and I would recommend that to anybody that's investing. But keep an eye on these currencies. They're the ones that are really running the game. You know, every now and then you have to pay attention to what's really running the game. Is it Apple? All right. Is it crude? Is it the 10-year? Well, I got to tell you what it is this time, folks. It's the currency markets. All right. It's Forex. It's the dollar versus the other markets and what those effects are. And how we feel them here, whether it be in commodity markets or whether it be in equity markets or bond market, doesn't matter. Because you feel it in every asset class. You know, next week is going to be an interesting week. You know, it's the last week of the month. But Friday is not unemployment because this is a short month. Remember, it's a 28-day month, February, not a leap year. So we end up with a deferred unemployment number, which won't come out till the following Friday. So next week is going to be a week where we get probably a little action on Tuesday because we've got new home sales and consumer confidence coming out. But more importantly, and what I'm looking for is the Fed chairman who speaks at 9 o'clock on Chicago time Tuesday morning. And why? Well, you know, he's speaking, and then he's speaking again on Wednesday. This is the testimony that is going to be very important. I think, if nothing else, it gives us, you know, an insight into what he's thinking and what some of the other board governors are thinking. It's better than the Fed minutes, all right? It really is. Because, you know what, when you hear somebody saying it, it's different than reading it, especially that one of the people that's actually making that policy decision. Wednesday, I said, again, we've got Chairman Bernanke speaking again, it's a two-day testimony, but we have durable goods orders coming out. And durable goods, I think, are going to be important only because, again, we want to see some trends developing, whether they're good or bad, to give us an idea of what might be lying ahead. It's one of those numbers that I'll be paying very close attention to. And then Thursday, we have GDP. Now, GDP is going to be important. Again, it's one of those numbers that does move the market, so pay very, very close attention to it. You know, GDP represents the total value of the country's production, folks, all right, during the period. You know, and I think it's important, you know, for us to understand that there is a big debate that has taken place that surrounds GDP. There are people that are convinced that there's going to be a contraction, a serious contraction in earnings, in GDP. That's why these numbers over the course of the next couple of months are very important. The trend is going to be very important, and it's going to dictate the appetite for risk. It'll dictate whether it is widening out and increasing or whether it is contracting. It is the numbers that we see over the course of, say, the next 2 to 3 weeks that'll determine whether this is that 3 to 5% pullback that I'm saying it is, or we have seen a near-term top in the market and we could see anywhere from a 10 to 20% break. Look, I let the market tell me what it wants to do. Then I react. Right now, the market's telling me that it's pulling back from an overbought condition, and those overseas investors invested in our markets are sitting on large profits, so it makes sense for them to take their profit. Now, the question is, what happens from here? Well, you know, use that fear that others are using as they sell the market to your advantage. You've heard me saying it before, folks. When others are selling it, be a buyer, or at least be actively looking to buy. And when others are buying it and everybody around you is bullish, like it was the other day when we were up at 1530 in the S&Ps, or that's when you turn around and you say, you know what, maybe it's time to lighten up. Maybe it's time to get out. Better yet, maybe it's time to buy some protection. This is Jack B, folks. Again, the fastest hour of my day, and unfortunately, it was a short week. Have a fantastic weekend. I will be talking to you on Monday. Well, then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.